All right, it's good to see everybody out this evening. Who's excited to be at Vacation Bible School? Now, wait a minute. Robert, did you hear a thing? It sound like a bunch of little mice around here. Yeah, flies? The flies buzzing. Who's excited to be at Vacation Bible School?
Yeah.
Okay. I heard a little bit something there, didn't you, Pastor Silcott? Yeah. That's great. Well, welcome. Glad to have you. We're excited about Wednesday night. This is our third night. We're about halfway through, and it's been an exciting week, so we're glad to have you here again tonight. If anybody first-time visitor tonight, first-time, okay, you're first-time tonight, yep, and we've got Courtney first-time. Thank you guys for being here. Want you to know that you're welcome. Who brought a visitor today? Molly did? You did? Okay. Yeah, Tom, you did. Yeah, you're going to get a VBS buck for that, Tom. Yeah, so... You have to come on the last night, Tom, so you can get a prize. So, yeah, great. Who brought their Bibles tonight? Who brought more than one Bible? Did anybody bring? Hold your hand up. Stand up if you brought more than one Bible. How many Bibles did you bring? Four Bibles. This guy is not joking about the Bible. Amen. He burns through one. He reads it so much, and he's got to have three backups for it. Amen. Thank you. Hey, I'm okay with him bringing four Bibles to church. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, well...
Bible, and I'll do something a little bit different this time. Let's go ahead. Would you be willing to come up here and hold the Bible for me? Right here? Come on up here. Sixth grade, 2021. All right, very good. Go ahead and hold it up there nice and high so everybody can see it. And to the Bible. Ready? Attention. Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Very good. All right. Amen. Thank you. Go ahead. You may be seated. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, this opportunity again to be in Vacation Bible School, to study your word, to draw closer to thee. When we think of the Bible, the fact that God's word is inspired, and that, Father, we can believe it, we can trust it in a world that's shaky, that's falling apart, that has no hope, no joy, but we can find peace and joy through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love letter, your word written to us, that we might grow and draw closer to thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, our first song again tonight is VBS Sure Is Fun. And we got to stand up for this one. We better stand up. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Let's sing this one. VBS sure is fun. Remember the motions. Fill the church up, way up. Fill it to the door. Point to the back there. Here we go. VBS. VBS sure is fun. Bring more kids in one by one. Fill the church up, way up. Fill it to the door. Then go out and get some more. You bring one, I'll bring two, just as Jesus wants us to. Fill the church up, way up, fill it to the door. Then go out and get some more. Very good. And then, of course, we're glad to be here at Vacation Bible School. At the end, repeat, this is the best place we could be. And you can shout out, let's go, okay? Here we go. We're glad to be here at Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School. We're glad to be here at Vacation Bible School. This is the best place we could be. We get to learn that Jesus loves us and make new friends who come to join us. We'll hear exciting stories and play some games at Vacation Bible School. We're glad to be here at Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School, Vacation Bible School. We're glad to be here at Vacation Bible School. This is the best place we could be. This is the best place we could be. Let's go! All right. And then, of course, my favorite song, The Bible Stands. The purpose for the theme is that, yes, God's Word is the inspired Word of God, that it stands on its own, and it will never falter. It will never be destroyed. It always stands and will remain true all the way to the end. Every promise in the book, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Things that haven't happened yet in the future, they're soon to come. Soon to come past, because God's Word stands alone. Let's sing it together. The Bible stands like a rock undoubted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of man. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Amen. The Bible stands, every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it and to prove and to make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Very good. All right. And then we have this song here. It's a well of pure water. Here we go.
All
and
right,
pastor's going to
do something real quick.
All right.
I have a history of tossing out candy when I see somebody really singing out for the Lord. Here's the thing, though. You got to have your Bible for this song. So if I see someone just really singing out for the Lord, and boy, they're waving their Bible, you might just get a piece of candy tossed your way. You can't ever tell. Amen? So if you want a chance for some chocolate, this is the good stuff here, provided by Pastor Silcott. This is the good stuff. If you want a piece of candy tossed your way, what do you got to do? Sing out. And what else? All right, let's go. Let's give it a shot. Are we ready? Lesson over.
It's the well of your water when I'm thirsty and dry, and when I'm hungry and warm, when the battle is raging. raging, it's my faithful sword, the of life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway, a lamp to my feet. When this world gets so dark, I can't see. And I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's the solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it costs just to hold in my hand, it reminds me that I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who's gone to the saint and quote it with their dying breath. Now its critics are many, believers are few, but one thing I found to be true. If you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. Blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. Very good. You may be seated. The theme verses for this week share with us the importance of God's word, such as 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly or throughly furnished unto all good work. And then 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not to an old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, like wind in a sail, used these men to pen scripture for us. It's not hearsay. It's not third party. It is actual account of people seeing exactly what took place. Powerful verses. Day one, that was on Monday when we learned the verse, John 3:16. Quote it with me. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then day two, Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Without the word of God, the world is dark, it is bleak, you stumble and fall all the time. But with the word of God, that we can stand upon it, we can read it, understand it, and it is a light to my path. It's no longer dark. I can see what God wants me to see and go where God wants me to go. The word of God. Same thing that we said in our pledges. Today's verse is John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Important verses. I hope you're working on them and memorizing them and hiding them in your heart. We've been looking at the theme, the Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. We're going to look at the word before. I want to share with you a story about a man who at first, he didn't think God could use him. In fact, this man thought that he was too young. He was born and grew up in the smallest tribe of Israel. He was the youngest one in his family. He didn't think that God could ever use him. But before God could use him, He had to lay down his life as a living sacrifice and be used of God in a powerful way. He did some great things because he finally put God first. He realized that God's not always looking for the one that's the most qualified. He's just looking for the one who's willing to go. Willing to say, yes, Lord, use me for your glory. Today I want to share with you this story with the help of my dear friend Randy. He's going to come and help me share this story with you about a man that just didn't think that God could ever use him. You listen. Sit back, be real quiet, and listen to this important story with the help of my dear friend Randy. Not saying anything. Guess we got to knock on the door. You know, when you go to someone's house, you always knock on the door, right? You don't just walk in and say hello, because it might be somebody on the other side with an F-16 or rather a shotgun. So we'll see what Randy has to say. You listen. Randy, go away. What did he say? He did? You're kidding. You better try that again. Randy, go away. You got to be kidding. Randy, there's people out here. No, go away. But Randy, no, don't do that. Oh, that tickles. Don't do that. Cut that out. Oh, go away. Don't do that. Randy, your hair's a mess. Oh, I like it that way. Don't do that. Oh, cut that out. Oh, don't do that. Tuck me back. Don't do this. Hello, don't wait a second. Look. There are people out there. I know. Why don't you say hello, Randy? Hello, Randy. No, I meant say hello to them. Oh, okay. Hello, how you guys doing? Wait a second. They don't know English. Oh, yes, they do, too. Say hello again. Okay, hello. Oh, I guess they do. Put me back. But, Randy, there's people out here that want to meet you. Wait a second. Put me back. Randy, well, why don't you want to be here? Because God doesn't use me. What? What do you mean God doesn't use you? God doesn't use small things. Oh, God does too use small things. Then why doesn't God use me? Oh, Randy, think of all the people who have come to know Christ as their Savior. All as a result of your faithfulness. No, God doesn't use me. Randy, I'll tell you what. I'm going to share with you a story tonight that proves that God does too use small things. Oh, no, he doesn't. But Randy, I want to share with you this story found in the Word of God about a man that was used of God. And you know, he kind of felt the same way. Oh, I can relate to that. Yeah, in fact, this story is a story about a man by the name of Gideon. Gideon, huh? You see, Gideon lived during the days when the Midianites, the Amalekites and the children of the east and the west and the north and the... No. Just the children of the east. The Bible shares with us that the Midianites came and destroyed Israel's land. They took their crops. They took their water. They took everything that's not nice. And so Gideon was discouraged. He was even hiding, trying to make sure that the Midianites didn't steal the little bit of food that they had. Oh, that sounds discouraging. But God came down and said, Gideon, you're the man to deliver Israel. Yeah. Do you know what Gideon said? I sure do. Okay, you tell us. What did Gideon say? This is not my day. No. See, at first he didn't think that God could use him. He didn't think he was the right man for the job. He sought and looked to the Lord to see if maybe he was the man, and soon he realized that God was going to use him. In fact, Gideon gathered together his army of 32,000 men. And this is what Gideon said. Charge! Oh, no. Wait a second. The Lord came down and said, Gideon, you have too many men in your army. Yeah. So Gideon was told that whoever was too scared to fight this battle, they could go home. Oh, wait a second. How many men went home? Well, out of 32,000 men, 22,000 men went home. What did Gideon say to the 22,000 men that just went home? Yeah. Oh, Gideon didn't say anything. I got something to say. You have something to say to the 22,000 men that just went home. Oh, I sure do. Is it important? Yeah, it's important. Okay, you tell us, what are you going to say to the 22,000 men that just went home? Are you ready? Yep, I'm ready. Chickens! Yeah, they didn't think that God could use them. They were dominated by fear. But that left Gideon with 10,000 men. Yeah? And this is what Gideon said. Charge! Oh, no, no, no. Once again, God said, Gideon, you have too many men in your army. So I want you to give those 10,000 men a test. What did you say? Gideon was going to give these men a test. Yeah? Oh, that sounds terrible. Well, wait a second. This was a very simple test. Now, that's an oxymoron if I ever heard one. Yeah, this test, all they had to do was go down to a stream. And those who bent over and drank the water from the brook, they were the ones to stay home. But those who picked up the water and lapped the water out of their hands like a dog, can have the drink. No, you can't have a drink. They were the ones to stay for the battle. How many men were left? Well, the Bible shared with us that after the test was over, there were 300 men. What did you say? 300. How many men are on the other side? Oh, you mean the Midianites and Melkites and the children of the East? Yeah. Well, the Bible tells us that they had an innumerable army. A whole lot. Hey, we'll see you guys later. Oh, wait, I'm leaving. Oh, wait a second. This is the most exciting part of the story. Losing does not sound exciting. Yeah, but you see, God was on Israel's side. He was. And Israel had some very, very unique weapons. An F-16, an aircraft carrier, and a missile launcher. Oh, no, the aircraft carrier. No, then they had armies. First of all, each one of them had a lantern. Oh, we need an extension cord. Oh, no, these lanterns, they burn bright with olive oil. I love you, too. No, olive oil. They pour it into the lantern, and it burns very brightly. Does that work? It certainly does. Then each one of them had a pitcher. Oh, mango juice. No. This pitcher was to cover the lantern so the enemy couldn't see them coming. And then each one of them had a trumpet to play taps. Taps? Oh, no. The trumpet represented 1,000 men. As far as the Midianites were concerned, they were circled around by 300,000 men. But there's not. You know, this is the way the battle went. So I got to hear this. Israel, in the middle of the night, with Gideon's 300 men, followed Gideon's command, did exactly what Gideon told them to do. You know, we always need a leader. We always need a pastor to direct us and in the ministry and to see God used and do some mighty things. So these 300 men circled around the army, yeah, and at the right time, each one of them broke the pitchers, which made a lot of noise, and the lantern shone bright. Then each one of them blew the trumpet. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the East came running out of their tents, slaughtering everybody around them. The Midianites destroyed their own army. Israel hardly had to kill a single man. Oh, they had to chase after a few. But God had the victory with only 300 men. Wow. If God can do that with only 300 men, think of what God can do with me. I guess God really can use me. I'm not so insignificant. That's exciting. Did you hear that, Pastor? I can be used of God. This is exciting. And you know, God can use me. He can certainly use you. Hey, this is exciting. Hey, we'll see that later, okay? 300 men? Wow. With only a lantern and a pitcher? Wow, this is exciting. Hey, wait a second. I'm not done yet. And a trumpet? Hey, we'll see that later. Hey, thanks for coming. God can use me. This is wonderful. Wow. Okay. Ouch. Take it easy.
That's Randy. Powerful story of Gideon. If you have your Bible tonight, I'd like to encourage you to open your Bible to the book of Judges. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Seventh book from the beginning, book of Judges, Judges chapter 6. The Bible shares with us this powerful story of a man who is faithful. You know, before God could use him, he had to come to a point where he realized, you know, maybe God can use me. He went through a few tests. He sought God's direction just to see, hey, is this really true? Can God really use me? Youngest man in Israel, smallest tribe,
of the land of Israel, youngest one in his family, God can't use me. But we're going to see a man who finally stood up. In fact, in verse 6 of Judges chapter 6, the Word of God says this, "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." The Midianites came in, destroyed their land, destroyed their crops. They were slaves in their own land, slaves. You know, just like we're slaves to sin, that we have no hope because sin destroys. Sin binds. Sin keeps us as slaves. Gideon was a man who finally realized that he was the right man for the job. First of all, I want to share with you Israel's fatal bondage. They were in bondage, no hope. Let me share with you an illustration. I have up here, first of all, a red little tube. This red tube is a square tube, and it's painted red because it represents the blood of Christ. And you notice here, it's empty. There's nothing in there. And as you look through there, you can see straight through the middle. The only thing you see now is, of course, my handsome face. Then I also have up here some blocks of wood. First of all, there is a white block that says what? God. And then there's a blue block that says what? Man. And then right under this hat is a black block that says what? Sin. It does. Oh my, let's cover him back up. Then I also have a stand here. We'll take this stand. And we're going to place these three blocks on these stand. First of all, we're going to take this block that says God. And then out from underneath the hat, we'll go ahead and pull out the block that says sin. And then right here on the top is the block that says man. Israel was in bondage, just as we are in bondage. Our relationship with God has been severed. It's been destroyed. We can't spend eternity in heaven because God hates sin. Man tries to think, well, I can do this myself. There's no problem here. But no, God hates sin. He will not allow sin into his presence. There's only one way that our sin can be forgiven, and that's by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have here a song that I like to sing. And we'll go ahead and sing it through a couple times. Mrs. Carlos is going to come and help us out here. And there's two things here. First of all, we're going to sing through this song twice. But first of all, we're going to sing through it. And as we sing it, I'm going to look for the one who's sitting the nicest and singing nice and loud to come up here and help me hold it for the second time, okay? So we're going to sing it through. Also, I want to know what shape this is in when we're all done, okay? Are you ready? Here we go. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I need a helper here. How about the young lady in pink? Could you come up here and help me? Would you be willing to do that? Come on up here. We're going to sing it through again, okay? Come on up here. There we go. Can you hold on to that for us so we can sing it through again? Hold it up nice and high. There we go. So let's go ahead and sing it through again, okay? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Very good. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Give her a hand, would you? Yes, thank you so much. So first of all, the shape of this song? A cross. Jesus Christ went to the cross for you and me, that we might have eternal life. He shed his perfect blood. He knew no sin. And he died on the cross that we might have eternal life. And you know, if you fold this cross just right, you know what it looks like? It looks like a gift. It looks like a present. And that's what Jesus Christ is, a free gift. And you know, all we have to do is reach out and take it. All we have to do is by faith accept him as our personal Savior. And you know, when we see our sin the way God sees our sin, and we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask him to forgive us of our sin, you know what he'll do? He'll take our sin away, that we might have eternal life. And the most exciting thing is this, that not only will he forgive me of my sin, but he'll also forget about my sin. The question is what have you done with Christ? Have you trusted in him? Because only through Christ can we have eternal life. Only through him that we can spend eternity in heaven by faith and faith alone. So first of all, we want to look at Israel's fatal bondage. They were slaves to their sin. They were slaves to the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the East, just as we are slaves to our sin. But not only do we want to look at Israel's fatal bondage, but also, secondly, Gideon's faithful call. Gideon was called of God to do this job. Listen to verse 12 of Judges chapter 6. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. You see, once again, God's not looking for the man that's most qualified. He's looking for the man who's willing to go. And that's exactly what Gideon was. Gideon was willing to say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. But you know, I understand. Sometimes we just don't think that we're the most qualified to do the job that God would ask of us to do. In fact, every once in a while, we kind of get a little afraid. We kind of get a little scared. And I have some silks here because, you know, first of all, Gideon looked at his life and said, you know, who, me? I bet Gideon was looking around and said, who are you talking to? It can't be me. It's certainly not me. No, I can't do that. That's just, you know, I've never been trained in battle, you know. And not only that, but Gideon was a little bit afraid. He didn't think, you know, the Midianites, they were a pretty big army. Innumerable? That's a huge army. That's huge. A little bit afraid concerning the fact that Israel was there in bondage. They were slaves to the Midianites. They couldn't do anything without the Midianites stepping in and ruining things. Gideon could look at his life and say, now, wait a second. I'm the youngest one in my family. Why don't you go ask my brother? But no. God wanted to use Gideon. And Gideon looked at his life and says, well, okay. If God wants to use me, maybe I can be used of God. And you know, as Gideon looked at all the pieces of his life, wasn't very much. Youngest one in his family, lived in the smallest tribe of Israel, never trained in battle, but he stood up and said, Lord, I'll be used of you. I'll be willing to go. I'll be willing to do what you want me to do. And when Gideon stepped out by faith and trust the Lord and believed that God can destroy this innumerable army, God took the pieces of Gideon's life and he turned it into something very beautiful. The question is, have you learned to trust in him? Have you learned to rely on the true and living God? Gideon did. And even though Gideon's life was in pieces, God turned it into a beautiful silk for the glory of God. He destroyed an innumerable army by the hand of God. God used him in a powerful way, just as God can use you and me. There were many. 22,000 men went home because they had fear in their heart. We can't do this. But Gideon stood up and said, we can do this for the glory of God. God used Gideon in a powerful way. And you know something? God can use you. He can use each one of you if you allow him, if you stand up and say, here, my Lord, use me. Gideon. First of all, point number one, Israel's fatal bondage. Point number two, Gideon's faithful call. And point number three, last of all, the Midianites' final battle. You know, the Midianites believed, hey, we got an innumerable army. We can destroy the Israelites. There's no problem. We can do this. But there's one thing they forgot. They forgot about the mighty hand of God. You know, I had a friend one day. He looked at me and said, you know, I think I've got God all figured out. There's only one God. Only one. But our God has many attributes. He's immutable. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He is righteous. I mean, we serve a powerful God. And so I was about to speak, and he said, oh, don't forget. Hey, not only is there God the Father, but there's also God the Son. And I said, hey, yeah, and you know, there's something else you need to remember, and that is that God is holy. He is holy, and we can trust in him. And then I told him, don't forget about the Holy Spirit. Because not only is there God the Father, not only is there God the Son, but there's also God the Holy Spirit, in whom we can trust and in whom we can believe in. And then I looked at him and I said, you know something? You will never get God figured out. Because he is an awesome God. And he can do some great things in your life, just as he did in the life of Gideon. Gideon, a mighty man of valor. Can God say that about you? The first thing is, what have I done with Jesus? Do you know him as your Savior today? Have you trusted in him? The Word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God tonight, and the hope that we see. All because Gideon was faithful. He stood up when nobody else would. There were many who left because of fear. But Gideon was used of God because he was willing to stand up and say, okay, Lord, use me. Father, I pray maybe there's someone here that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There's never been a time in their life when they realize that they're sinners, that they're bound by their sin. They're slaves to their sin, just like Israel was slaves to the Midianites. Father, I pray that would be their desire to be set free. Because only you can set us free. Only you can set us free from the bonds of our sin. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if there's someone here tonight that would say, preacher, I'm not saved. I've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm still bound by my sin. I don't know for sure if I'm bound for heaven, but I'd like to know for sure tonight. Would you slip up your hand? Preacher, I'm not saved. I do not know Christ as my Savior, but I'd like to trust him tonight. Amen. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? You know, Gideon was a man who stood up for what's right. He said, you know, I'm going to be used of God. Maybe you're here tonight and God is working in your heart. You don't know what God can do until you step out by faith and trust him. Tonight, I urge you to lay down your life as a living example, a living sacrifice in which God can use. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I pray that you'll work in hearts in ways that I can, that your name will be glorified, and Father, we'll certainly praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor, you come.
For just a moment, church, I just feel glad to maybe give you an opportunity to consider your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of things we want you to get this week at Vacation Bible School. We want you to have a good time. We want you to remember the Bible lessons. But most importantly, above all anything else, we want you to leave here knowing for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. The Bible says that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, in John 14:6. So I'm going to ask you if we'll do this for just a few moments. Would you stand? with your head bowed and your eye closed. I want to give you an opportunity today. Nobody looking around for just a moment, please. Just for a moment. Everybody stand, head bowed, eye closed. I know Pastor Silcott already asked, but if there's one here tonight, you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. Would you come forward and let someone take the Bible and tell you and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die? Say, preacher, I'm here tonight, and I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. Would you come forward and let somebody help you? One has already come. How about you, friend? Hey, listen, Vacation Bible School here is not just for kids. The gospel message is for anybody who will listen, who will hear it and receive it. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that doesn't just mean for children at Vacation Bible School. If God's dealing with your heart, won't you come? Let me ask this question again. Maybe it's had a little time to sink in and what Pastor Silcott said. If you're here tonight and you'd say, Pastor, I don't know for sure. If I was to die today, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? Would you slip up your hand for just a moment and put it back down? Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. We just want to pray for you. How about you, friend? Anybody else? I'm going to pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you, Lord, for those who've come. Lord, those who maybe you're still dealing with, God. Those who, Lord, not sure about their salvation tonight. Lord, whatever the need is, God, I pray that you convict them of their need for salvation. Lord, I pray that you continue to work in hearts tonight. God, we thank you for what you've already done, what you're going to do. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to be seated for just a moment as some folks are still praying. And I'm going to ask my son if he'll play something soft, sing something soft.
For every prodigal who's thrown their whole life away, you're feeling completely unworthy to mention his name. For every soul that's been shattered by choices you've made, the Father still hears every prayer, a broken heart prays. Just when you thought you could somehow outrun him, you're chased down by mercy as he proves there's nothing that his blood can't cover and his arms can't reach to redeem. Whoa, just when you thought you exhausted his kindness, his gentle compassion pulls you out of hiding. And just when you thought that his grace somehow reach the end, listen, you find you're forgiven again and again. It's so amazing how he will move heaven and earth to reach through the darkness, the shame, the heartache, the hurt. And we find out again there is nothing the Savior loves more than seeing surrender, so he can renew and restore. Just when you thought you could somehow outrun him, you're chased down by mercy as he proves there's nothing that his blood can't cover and his arms can't reach to redeem. Oh, just when you thought you exhausted his kindness, his gentle compassion pulls you out of hiding. And just when you thought that his grace somehow reached the end, you find you're forgiven again. He wants you, you're never too far, and he'll meet you right where you are. So don't be afraid, don't turn away from his love. Just when you thought you exhausted his kindness, his gentle compassion pulls you out of hiding. And just when you thought that his grace somehow reached the end, you find you're forgiven again. Forgiven again and again and again. Forgiven again.
Amen. I'm so thankful 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you so much. You've done a good job being very attentive tonight. I appreciate that. Thank you, Pastor Silcott, for that message. That was tremendous. I do appreciate that. What a great lesson. Hey, listen, even as they were talking about earlier, God can take little and make much of it. Amen. And so don't think, well, I'm not very big, I'm not very talented, I'm not very smart. Hey, listen, God is looking for a willing vessel, somebody who's willing to say, here, my Lord, send me. All right, well, listen, we are going to go ahead and get on with some of our other activities. We do need to have, yes, what is, yes, we do need to have Mr. and Mrs. Cash.